This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. You know, so... But there is so much more to talk about today that probably isn't Star Trek related. Because...
gee, what major event happened that you might have, like... have a folder on your computer for to like post in places.
No, I don't. I don't because everybody, okay, so more importantly, today is the 245th birthday of the Marine Corps, so to all my Marine Corps brethren, brothers and sisters out there, happy birthday. It is, of course, November 10th, 2020 when we're recording this, but that is also 10 days after the election and said subsequent shit show of a nation that we live in right now, and it is just a toxic mess of people who literally can't remember 4 years ago when they were on the other side of the coin. And it's like, you know, your ability to not remember anything that happened less than 5 minutes ago. Like, I thought that was just me because I'm old and stupid. And like, I'm like, what'd you have for dinner? I have no clue.
Nah, man. Like, I don't. They all got that quarterback mentality. Just forget the last pass. On to the next.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened. What are you talking about? What happened? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, all of the quit whining and get over it Republicans from 4 years ago are now just staunchly against losing to the point of a giant nationwide conspiracy to rig ballots across multiple states to win it for Biden, which the only way I could even like compare this to anything is like, we don't even have a system in our country that lets county to county, more importantly, state to state, like track, I don't know, like a bad, like a cop who gets fired for doing some shady shit or fucking with somebody or, you know, something that they get fired for. We don't have something that tracks that to the next place they apply to, another police department. And so they just move to another police department. And they're all, and then guess what? Same shit happens again. They go, oh, we should have checked where he came from and talked to somebody. Like, we don't even have counties or states that do that now, but you think they made this giant, like, ooh, here's what we're going to do, everybody. We're going to have our Republican-led states pass laws and approved by Republican governors to have this mail-in thing, but we're going to make it all so we can count all these illegal dead people and illegal votes and all this. It's like, you're giving this country too much credit. Like, it's for the worst part is that you're your own worst enemy, because we watch you in Washington dicker and bicker about bullshit and never get anything done, but you think that in the time of this virus, when half the government people weren't even going into the office in the first place, they had time to like enact this plan. You can't just look at your supreme leader and just realize that he's a fucking douche canoe and that nobody fucking wants him. 6 million or 5 or 6 million more people don't want him than do want him. So, I mean, I don't know. One of those just seems like an easier suggestion to me. I'm just saying. That's just me. I guess I'm just crazy. to have election experts break it down months ahead of the election and say, if we increase mail-in ballots, then we're never going to know on the night of, because a lot of these Republican-run states that went blue this year in the election for the president, who also elected a whole bunch of Republicans in that same... You love how they're like, no, only these ballots, only the top line of that ballot's wrong. The rest of them, please, no, we're still new, we still won. Like, I won, Mitch McConnell, I won mine. I mean, there's probably some that aren't good, but I won mine. I'm still in. So, you know, it's like, you devalue one, you're going to devalue everybody on that ticket, on that ballot, and then you've done dorked yourself, except I guess you just want to do the ones that voted for all the blue people, so you'll be fine, I'm sure. What I really want, the number that I really want, and I'm sure if I dig deep enough, because they had up until today for them to come in, is I want to know the swing percentage of the mail-in or absentee military ballots, because I want that statistic to throw in everyone's face. That I'll guarantee you, after you shit on the list of generals and the things you said about service members and about POWs and your beef with John McCain and that kind of stuff, after all that shit you said, I will guarantee you that the majority of service members voted against you. Guarantee it.
Yeah, it's probably got to be out there somewhere.
Especially the Marines, because if Mad Dog Mattis tells you to go fuck yourself, we're all going to follow. That's just how it's going to roll, dude. Because that was the only time in this entire administration where I was like, oh, you appointed Mattis. Okay, well, I will listen to that. I'll pay attention to that. Like, at least you got somebody who's a badass sitting next to you telling you what's up. But then you went and fucking got rid of him. You're dead. You're like, you weren't shit to me anyways, but at least I thought you had somebody who was like, you know, decent sitting there with you. Not anymore. So now I know you're shit. And I know a lot of military folks felt the same way. I want that guy to run for president. So I think he has got to be, I don't know how old he is compared. He could do it. Let Mattis run, man. We'd all vote for him. Love that guy. Anyways, so that's the shit show we live in right now as a nation. And it's nowhere near being done. They're going to argue this shit up until the states send their electors in November or December, like 12th or something. So we got another month of this bullshit before they send the electors and they ratify it or whatever it's called. And it's just going to be a shit show. And I expect it's not, the worst part is, and I heard somebody say it today, is that we're so numb to his idiocies and day to day that this isn't even the attack on our democracy and the way things are run and have been run for hundreds of years in this country. Like, the sheer attack on that doesn't even faze us right now. We're so numb to all of the bullshit. We're just like, well, it's just fucking, it's what he does. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So I have some other opinions that I'll tell you off air. I can't do it on the mic because I don't want it to be written down. that just things that I could see happening in the future that would not surprise me one bit. But enough of that. Enough of me ranting. Do you have any opinion on the election, sir?
Nope.
I know you are civic minded.
Yeah, but no, I'm good.
You're like, nah,
shit's
good.
Like religion, politics. It's my business. Like, I'm straight. Like, don't pitch it. Don't sell it to me. I'm fine. I'm not going to do the same to you. If it cordially comes up, then maybe. But I'm not going to be like, hey, before the podcast, here we go. Nah.
Let me get this off my chest.
Nah. Dude's a fool. And I think, honestly, I think everybody really sees that. And there's not, like I said, it's a lesser of two poisons, you know. And you just, at this point, you really see who's like, who's a person that's just going to vote Republican. Like, that's what it'll always be, you know? And you're just kind of like, I get it, dude. You're going to bleed red. Like,
right.
Fuck the other colors. Like, you're going to just bleed red. I got it. Like, okay. Yeah. That's where we're at.
It's like you looked at that and went, yeah, I'm okay knowing everything, you know, and you, not you, I know you didn't, but people that voted for him are like, yeah, I can just look through all that, and I can look at being lied at to my face all the time. You know, and I was saying this at work this week. I was like, you know, because I make it a point for people to not like me at work in case there's anybody who is a Trump fan there. I make sure to talk about politics really, really loud because I'm like, it's a pandemic, so I don't want you near me anyways. And if I can piss you off politically, you'll never come near my desk, which is like, perfect. So I was talking to this, and I was like, you know, I miss, like, the stories from the 50s and 60s and 70s, like the back rooms, you know, dude smoking in the dark corner, secret government shit that no one knew about until like 10 years later. I understand like those kind of like blatant lies that no one knew better. What I don't like and what I think is hilarious is when you stand in front of a mic and you lie to the world, because it's all that I can literally just open my phone and go Google, Google, Google. Okay, that's what you said is completely wrong. Like, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. And if you keep saying, I can look at 18 different sources from both red and blue sides and stats and people who don't hold a political. You're just wrong, but you think you can just get up there and say it. That's my problem. I want it to be, you want to be sneaky, shady government shit, then fucking be sneaky about it. Don't just lie because it's all you ever do, because it's like breathing. And that gets boring. Have some fucking panache with it. Have some fucking flair with your lies. Jesus. Just try. If you put 1/8 of the power of your ability to fucking hate tweet and goddamn caps lock tweet. I mean, I'm not sure since the election his caps lock has been off on his phone. Like, on his tweets. Like, I'm pretty sure they've almost all been in all caps. And I'm just like, just put a little more of that energy into fucking lying, like, decently. Okay? Just because the uneducated masses vote for you, it's a statistical thing. Like, there's a video of him being like, I love the uneducated masses. They vote for me. It's like, you said that to a crowd of uneducated masses who then applauded you because they're uneducated masses. Just try to, like, I don't have to try. You got 2 months left, and then they're going to carry out that fucking door. So you can fight it all day long, but there is no way they're going to find enough. If I'm, you know, talking about it out loud, so now it's going to come true, and like something, and they like end up doing some crazy shit that flips the election, like, this country's over. Like, it's over. Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing even works anymore. And it's just blatantly on display. And because in the back of my head, I'm like, there's absolutely no way that there are that many bad ballots to reverse these states where he's ahead by 40,000, 20,000, even 10,000 recounts. The recount in 20, because everybody you talk to talks about 2,000. That was 560 something ballots. It wasn't tens of thousands across multiple states. It was 501 state across different counties. That's it. And so it's like, what do you think is going to happen? There's going to be 50,000 illegitimate ballots? Like, that's not how it works. Just because it wasn't counted on election night, they're never all count on election night. You have a system that's geared towards in-person voting. They didn't change the way they counted. In fact, a lot of states said, no, you can get all these early ballots in and shit, but you can't tabulate them or even open them up until election night. So, of course, they're handicapped and they're going to be counting for days and it looks like they're finding ballots. No, they're just pulling the next fucking bucket out of the fucking storage closet you made them store it in. I'm done.
Okay.
I'll stop talking, Pa. I'll stop. Let's talk Star Trek. Hopefully only wasted 15 minutes of folks' times. I may even mark it in here and be like, if you don't want to hear about the election, just jump to this time in the fucking podcast. I'm so sorry. If you've been with us long enough,
just cut it out and make it like a monologue and put it in there.
I know. I should just do that. That's a good point.
Just be like, hey, I ranted about this at the beginning of the podcast, but I know this is Star Trek centric. So here's my monologue, and there's 20 seconds of Corey going, "Nope, I'm good."
No, I'm not bringing it up. All right, well, there it is. Now, episode 4 of Discovery, Forget Me Not.
Oh, it's episode 4. Damn it! I said episode 5. Four. I think that's the name of the title that I'm saving this file
oh,
as.
For yeah. The thing. That's okay. Half the time, you don't even name it anywhere near what it is. I have to make sure it's the. I got to listen to it to make sure.
Well, that's why I delete everything out of the Google the folder most of the time. I'm like, once I know you got it, I'm like, all right, let me get rid of this shit.
Well, they're definitely in their stride now. Of like, I felt like the first and second season. We always had this like big picture we were going to, and that like, every episode had to mean a whole bunch of stuff, and it was all building and building and building. You know, the last episode and this episode you know, especially this one, they took a lot of time to like work on people. Like even at the very beginning with the doctor walking, doing his doctor's log, mm-hmm. and talking about, you know, talk about everybody being messed up. And, you know, they had time to, you know, Saru's taking the time to figure out how to help people. And then of course our main story of Adira and her issue with the Trill symbiote. So, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't like it was action packed. It was just more a lot of character stuff. You thought so? What do you think? Were you bored by it?
Yeah, like this episode was boring to me. I'd be like, mm-hmm. I know I'm not gonna like the new character. Like, I just
her imaginary boyfriend.
Well, I don't care for her, and then her boyfriend now like having the whole like ghost thing. Like, mm-hmm. that's just gonna be annoying. Like, that's all that is. Like, to me, it's, I don't know. It would be one thing if where like when the Trill took to her and, you know, they were like, welcome to the circle or whatever it was. It'd be one thing if when like she looked up in like her own space, it was all of them or something. Cause then you could go, all right, cool. It's just like a visual way of us describing kind of like what's happening in her right now. But like the way they mm-hmm. did it, like she is visibly talking to her dead boyfriend,
right,
via the Trill, we're guessing, because he was the original carrier, and the only reason the switch happened is because the fucking ship got hit by a giant space rock that somehow no one saw coming.
Thank you. Can we talk about that for just one second? Like, once again, here we are in space. The final
and
frontier.
I guess, and I was like, and I was like, my immediate thought was like, was that a big fucking rock? And then I went, okay, maybe I'm gonna let this happen because of the burn. Like, there's not distant repeaters or some shit, right? That could have picked this thing's orbit up from wherever the fuck it's been. But then I went kind of like, well, Earth's got some satellites that, I mean, aren't really that far out there, but we go, well, hey, if this big one that we call Texas 21987654 fucking moves half a centimeter to the left, it's going to destroy the planet. Like, I don't know. Right. We know that now. Like, you can never fly in space in my mind and regress so far in technology somehow that, like, the basic shit of, like, flight and how you move through space just doesn't
sensors
seem to be there.
Deflector shields, anything, right? Like, and it was, and then of all that, it's like we saw Stamets take like a shard of fucking hull like to his upper torso. This person got stabbed in the gut with some glass, and it was like, and you're going out, like that's it.
Yeah, but got something. Here's the difference: he's a human and this other person is not. And like,
understood. It could be like where his heart
yeah,
is.
And like, well, yeah, that's true. And also, just from the way they did this episode, Star Trek has said clear as day that, look, if you're a human in this universe, 9 out of 10 chances you will be okay with whatever space alien it fucking is. Even though they literally just said in 3,000 years and like all of the fucking attempts that have ever tried, it has never worked. I just hate that like she's a human and it's like the 1.90 fucking chance that it works. Like, I just wish she could have been on the ship and was like, not anything the Trill's ever been in before, right? But not just like mm-hmm. an average, I came out with a wiener or I came out with a vagina. Like, there's just, fuck, man, dude. Like, I get it. Humans are super cool. But fuck, dude, we're in space, man. Let's just shimmy it up a little bit.
It could be, she could have been any alien that wasn't Trill, and the plot would have gone just fine as well. I even went back and watched.
But that's how you can't have the ghost thing now. It's different because it's a human. We experience this thing. So whatever fucking stupid little LSD trip that they want to go on with this side story is going to now be an annoyance and like odd discomfort for the person that shows up to the party that no one fucking likes, because it's like, oh, cool. Oh, so she's actually having a conversation with those people, but you're showing me this weird side conversation that she's having with her boyfriend with the fucking violin. That's what.
Right. I'm with you. Exactly, completely with that point. Like, if it becomes her plot device.
Yeah, like where she's multitasking all the time.
Talking to someone who's not there type thing. Yeah, because look, and I'll be the first to admit as a Trekkie that the Trill, like, canon has been all over the place when it comes to what we saw. Because, like, after this episode, this weekend, my wife and I went back and watched the TNG episode where there's a Trill who doesn't have the symbol, who doesn't have the markings on his face. So, like, already canon's weird. This is the first time in all of Star Trek we heard the word Trill was this episode. Mm-hmm. So no one knew anything about it. And this dude was, like, a negotiator. Like, they brought him in to, like, negotiate, like, peace treaties between two warring nations or whatever on this planet. But for some reason, like, he wouldn't be transported. And everybody's like, well, it's fucking 24th century. Like, why don't you fucking transport anywhere, dude? Like, come on. He's like, no, I don't want to do it. So Riker drives him down in a shuttle, and they get shot at or hit with something. Anyways, old dude gets injured, is going to die. He goes, you know, don't transport me. Take me back to the ship. They take him back to the ship, and, like, he dies. After they scan him, realize there's a symbiote, pull it out. It's going to die. Riker volunteers. They stick it in Riker. Riker becomes the dude that we saw before, which has a subplot of him and Beverly Crusher were dating. So it gets real awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's now Riker looking at her like, yo, baby girl. And she's like, no, you're my friend. I can't. It's weird. But then, like, as time goes on, Riker starts, like, the body of Riker starts deteriorating. And, like, he's going to die because he can't, the symbiote is not happening. Like, it's not working.
Well, apparently he was in all those tentacles, not letting it tell a backstory to him that he needed to know during the death of the thing. Like, he just wasn't receiving the information properly.
Right. But so then our major introduction to Trill was Jadzia Dax on DS9, and she was a badass. She transported everywhere. There were some issues. In fact, the first time we saw, so the entire scene in the caves of Makala on Trill, I forgot that they actually went there. We never saw the surface of Trill in DS9, but we saw the caves because they ended up beaming right into there. And all I remember was Jadzia Dax in that white outfit in that water. Like, I remember that episode as a preteen or a teenager very vividly. And I was like, this isn't doing it for me. Like, but I remember on DS9 that was doing it for me because that was all right. But so they're introducing stuff now with what was, I mean, I understand the TNG episode being kind of, you can kind of just, like, cut that out a little bit because it was the first time they had, it's kind of like when we first met the Ferengi. Like, they changed completely from the weird, like, monkey shit they were doing on that one to become, like, the greedy, you know, money grubbing tricksters that they were on, you know, later on in Next Generation and DS9 and stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know. They're adding some stuff to the Trill lore that I'm just like, does that really work though? Like, does it work?
Like, what did they add?
The fact that it can be in a human.
Well, yeah, one, I mean, I get that. One. Like, but I mean, like, I'm saying, like, what else though?
I don't know. I felt that the entire portion on the surface with the, you have a person who's blatantly, like, not either he's the lesser party in the government, the guy in the yellow, or he's just, like, civilian representative of, like, the masses. And you have, like, the person who is blatantly an elected, we come in peace type person that meets everybody who shows up to the planet. And then you have, like, the religious dude. So, I mean, once again, we're painting a lot of pictures of the now, you know what I'm saying? And so they went from, oh my gosh, you found a symbiote. Where is it? Oh, gross. It's in her, like a human. Gross. Let's can that needs to get out of there. Like, can we're going to have it. And they're like, you're not, and Michael's like, you're not going to cut her up. So then so they go, the guy's like, let me stick her in the water. And the thing's, hell no, you're going to fucking make it not holy anymore. And then after all that, when your species has been scattered to the winds, you never catch a new one anytime soon. All of a sudden they're like, no, get off the planet. It's like, we're going from there to that. And then after that, it was like, and now we're gonna attack you in the woods and cut it out of you anyways. Fuck it, you know. I was like, everything went like from 0 to 11 like real quick.
Yeah, well, I think that was because, like they said, in the 3,000 years and how many ever times it's tried to happen with a human, it's never worked. The humans and the Trills always died. They're like, hey, it's a Trill, let's go. Well, and Michael obviously comes from the human standpoint going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I get that your thing's in there. Like, you understand that, right? Like, she's a jar and you're in it. Like, if we can't easily separate the two, then it's not happening, because you can't just have your piece back, okay, and ours die. Like, that's not how this shit works. Like, I get that dude's point of view. Like, it was like, fuck that, dude. Our species is out of here. Obviously, there are a lot of humans, so if you lose one, we're okay.
Right.
You know, I did like how Michael just fucking popped him. Like, she didn't kill him. I love how the girl was like, well, that's not a Trek protocol. And she's like, no, it's not. We're done with this conversation. Like, need to understand we're adjusting here. But I also think that, like, by her doing that, if you look at me watching the fucking end scenes for the trailer of the next episode, you meet the Trek people, and the Trek people nowadays aren't so like,
can you please call them the Federation or Starfleet? No,
Trek people.
You're so horrible. It's
what stuck in my brain. It is what is going to regurgitate out of my mouth every time. And I don't even mean it in an offensive way or anything. It's just Trek people, man. Like, if I say, if I went into a room and I was like, yo, these are Trek people, like, no one would be offended. They would be like, you are fucking right, homie. This is Trek people central. Like, they would love it. It's not like I'm walking in going, ugh, Trek people. Like, the tone is way different. Watching the trailer,
you dug into the Trek people. What did you see?
Well, like, you can obviously tell, like, right from the get go, it's not all like live long and prosper and peace, dude. What's up? You're new and interesting. How's it going? It's like, no. We lost half our people. Our shit blown the fuck up. We're spread to the wind. Do not trust you. So I imagine now we're going to get a little more Wild West Trek, where it's not all like, hey, homie, first contact.
Let's talk it out.
No, it's more like, hey, we got guns. And like, we're going to have the PTSD Trek crew, like, kind of going, huh? I feel like I don't think it's going to be this just exploratory shit anymore. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone gets a knife or a gun pulled or at least shot almost every episode this now, like, pretty much.
Well, I mean, with the amount of dilithium that Discovery is carrying, I can see, and I think I mentioned this earlier on in one of our reviews, I can literally see the Federation being one of their enemies. Like, everyone's trying to get them to get their dilithium.
Yeah, you know, I hope they don't do the where the Federation is the enemy. I hope maybe there's like a, so you just popped out of the future, or the past, should I say, huh? Let's feel this out. Like, I hope there's that, but then it's like, maybe you have the Federation needs to go back to the old ways, where you kind of have the new guy and like maybe Michael are more like, nah, I think you guys need to adjust to the new space and time that we're in. And it's not so much of like, are we working for the conspirators? Right. Like, I don't want it to be,
they do have a lot of,
like, I hope it's more of a Federation. Like, we'll go, okay, we'll protect it. And like, that's what it is. It's not like, well, a barter system or this like, yeah, come on board after you proved yourself. And then the whole time, like after one side conversation, we're like, okay, well, when are they going to try to kill them all and take it and go rule space then? Cause that's obviously what the fuck he's going to do. Right. Like,
right.
I do not want that from like a Federation grouping of things. Like, I'm not saying they got to come back and be all hunky dory. Like maybe the Discovery is just like, okay, you guys aren't what it is anymore. Right. And they go and do some shit or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe they just go, we're going to go fucking help people. That's what we do. But yeah, I definitely don't want that. Like man behind the man is really the Federation kind of like shit. You know, it's just,
yeah, it would suck if the nice man on his own little space station out in the middle of nowhere was like the last true like Starfleet Federation person that was out there who was like loyal and kept the values of the Federation. I hate if that was the first guy we met was it, and now everybody else is jaded and changed. And,
yeah, I mean, like I don't need
Earth withdrew.
Yeah, like I don't need him to be like that first guy. Like the first guy was cool because he was like, oh shit. I just kind of got this job because my dad was one and my grandpa and blah, 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 you know, basically.
No, I meant.
But like when he was.
I meant more like him, the honor and the you could tell the values. That
oh,
he,
no. Yeah. Like
whether or not he.
I get that. I'm just saying, like, I don't mind if that changes because of what happened with the burn and stuff. Like, I get it. If he was like the feel good thing, you know, of like finding someone that like, oh, shit, there is something that is still the Federation. Like it would have sucked if Michael ran into what we're going to see in the next episode, like right from the get go. Right. Like, cause it would have just changed the whole dynamic of the show, but having someone that's just like, I haven't talked to anybody from the actual home base in blah, 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 blah,
30
but
years.
Still sitting there like doing his post. Like, that's cool. I'm cool with the Federation though itself. And not like one dude who seems to be like on a pretty nice planet as it is, not like he was in like, a war zone or something, still holding down the Federation post, you know, everything seemed to be pretty peachy. Like, I don't mind the Federation being a little more like, you shoot us, we will fucking kill you. Like, you get that, right? You know, and I like, based on the way they advertise the mobile game, like, the whole spiel from Michael in that pitch is like, take your ship, go kill shit. Like, there's no other.
Yeah, it's no. I've played that
and
game.
It's no like, go explore this and like help this planet solve its like food dilemma or whatever. Right. It is literally get a ship, get armor, go do runs or whatever and kill shit because there's people trying to steal your shit. Like,
yeah,
and if that game is based on anything, the way they as in the people that created the show were like, this is how space is, then yeah, there's gonna be a lot more Wild West shit in this show, and like that's why I said I wouldn't be surprised if we see someone get a knife or get a gun or get shot or something, not always to like a dead thing, but like. They phase the fuck out of everybody because it's like, we just don't ask questions anymore, right? Like, fuck that. Like, we're done with this bullshit, kind of. Especially when they know the person in front of them is literally the opposition of what is trying to be accomplished for the greater good. I'm totally fine with that. Fucking knock them all out. I don't give a shit. Get on with your business because space isn't this, like, new oyster anymore. Like, space is basically like, hey, I've been around the block a few times. I know a few things. I'm trying to be good, but there's some bad sides of me still there.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't need there to be a huge shift in the Federation and in Starfleet. It can just be a smaller, more skeleton crew of its former self, minus a lot of planets being involved in it because no one can get anywhere. That's the crazy part. And like I said, the Discovery is going to be a target until they figure out what's going on. And like, I think there's a bigger plot element with the burn. I think possibly my theory is that they're going to do something to go back to go back in time and stop it. And part of that is going to be getting because we know Georgia has to get back to the past because she has a TV show they've announced. You know what I'm saying? Like she has to get at some point, Georgia herself has to get back to her timeline, back to the time that they left from. Just because she has to do this X 31 show. So to get her back there.
Why does she got to go back in time to go to the time traveling agency?
I don't know. No. Section 31. No, that it's, I don't, it's not going to be section 31 of the time, police aren't the same thing. I was mistaken with that. They were not the same, I believe. But anyways,
but I'm just saying either way, like, why does she need to go back in time for, like, obviously,
because I think it's going to be, well, I think it's going to be in that time frame, like the original Discovery time frame. And also with that short trek, with the short trek Calypso, with it being the Discovery being in a nebula for 1,000 years. I know that was kind of like a arbitrary time. And I'm not sure if they had all this planned out when they made that episode, but I can see, you know, the crew departing Discovery for whatever's going on, Georgia taking it back, parking it in this nebula, and then them literally being able to just drive to that nebula, and it's been waiting for them that whole time. You know what I'm saying? Because we know that she sits there, because in Calypso, and to speak of it, it happens in this episode, the kind of beginning, or the next step in it, the Discovery's AI becomes Zora, is what her name is in the short trek. She calls herself Zora. That was they used a different actress to do the computer voice when it did that, when it was talking to Saru. It switched. So we've seen now, and apparently Saru's the only one who's been witness to it so far. Because we saw last season, like, the AI raised the shields so they couldn't blow up Discovery when they were trying to make sure that Leland didn't get his hands on it, right? Make sure, you know, Control didn't get his hands on it. So now we know that it's going to get to the point where it's sentient, and we know it's going to get to a point where it's parked in a nebula for 1,000 years, and the whole crew leaves and says, "Don't leave this nebula." And she's like, "Roger that, sir." And the ship stays there. Hence the short trek. So it's weird, like, knowing what they're going to have to shoot for. You know, I understand, like, trying to, like, tweak canon that's already happened on TV shows 20 and 30 years ago and further. But, like, things that you've made while you've had this intellectual property, like, now we know, like, okay, we know this happens. We know you've announced this. We know this is what happened in that short trek. Like, we have to make it all line up somehow. And so, like, that drive to get there is going to be interesting. But I have a feeling it's going to be like a, let's get Georgia back, park the ship, and then we drive there. Look, there's the ship. It's been sitting there for 1,000 years and it's waiting for us. And it's already fully sentient and we're good to go. Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, we need her to be, you know, it could be one of those dire situations where, like, we need her to be more sentient. So send her back in time and she can sit for 1,000 years and figure it out herself. I don't know. I have no clue. They don't ask me to write these things. But I just know there's a whole bunch of, like, overarching stuff that has been already brought up. And we know that ship becoming sentient is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not really sure yet. Because she didn't seem to mind getting hit by two Earth torpedoes that shut her shields down in one shot. So, you know, she hasn't seemed to be trying to, the ship itself hasn't seemed to be trying to, like, protect itself too much, you know? So, I don't know.
Well, I think, like, as of, like, right now, the Saru piece, like, that was the first step.
That is the second step.
How so?
Because the first time that she showed the ship showed any sort of sentience was before they even jumped into, when they were trying to destroy it before Leland's.
Yeah, but that's like everybody, like, that is us as the viewer going, all right, that was the ship. But no one on the ship, everyone's just like, oh, miracle. Like, no one knows why that happened.
They all know why it happened. They all know why it happened. They all know it's because it's already meshed with the,
Yeah, but they don't know that it's data. Like, what I get,
you're right.
They yes, when, okay, like they're like becoming, they go in, ooh, our ship got a power upgrade. They don't know that the ship is like, hey, I've been here counting fucking steps and shit and, like, watching you idiots do things. Like, I'm about to course correct the fuck out of all of you. Like, I can think too. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Right. This episode is that first step. Like,
okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, like, ooh, the shield's up. No, that doesn't make a thing sentient. Everyone can go, I got a hunch because we upgraded the old power chip over there. That's why it happened. No, when the bitch starts talking to you and like different tones and things, that was creepy.
Yeah, right.
I swear to
Alexa, office on. Oh, did what just happened?
If you get yanked off the side of this monitor.
Did it just like lose internet connection? I wonder if the Wi-Fi went out. There it goes. I don't know. I was like, wait a second, am I sitting in the shitter too long at work and the light sensor goes out?
Yeah, dude, that's the worst, man. You're like, fuck, I've been here for a while then, huh?
I know, right? I've been scrolling too long. So on that, so talking about the sentience of the ship and as she's going to grow, she's going to take more actions to protect herself. And at some point, she's going to be like, I don't need you to fly me. Let's talk about Detmer some. First off, because we mentioned it at the beginning, the running joke, not running joke, but it was kind of something that was joked about with Next Generation was always like, why is Deanna Troi, like, why do we need a counselor? Like, really? It's the 21st century. You know, why are we doing it? And then this show blatantly shows you exactly why you need a ship's counselor, because they don't have one. They have a doctor who's like a little bit intuitive when it comes to, you know, matters other than the body. You know what I mean?
It's like, I feel like anybody that says that like, why do we have a counselor or anything? It's like, have you ever been away from anything? Actually, everyone can feel that now. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't matter whether it's like going away to summer camp or whatever. Like, if you don't know what that feeling of like, oh shit, I don't have anything I'm used to. Right. Like, and even if, and I don't care if like space travel of like, hey, I went to Saturn's like the norm or whatever, sitting out, like, I don't know, you could own a boat and go out in the ocean every fucking day, but being a crabber out there for months or a fucking naval shipman out there for fucking years, 2 months at a time, like, or heaven forbid, a fucking submarine dude, like, why you wouldn't have someone to make sure everyone's head's fucking straight and tight quarters, it would be beyond me, right? Like, I would want confined space to be as happy as possible.
Very true. Yeah, I mean, and it shows you how, I mean, but 35, almost 40 years ago when, you know, well, over 30 years ago when Next Generation first aired, like, you know, that was 35 years ago. It wasn't like, therapy wasn't even where it is these days, where it's way more accepted. So, you know, for them to have it on the ship and make that like connection, it makes more sense, especially when you see it when portrayed in the Trek universe without one, and you have people who desperately, desperately need someone to talk to about things that's a professional at that stuff. So that's, I thought it was really cool because Detmer is having some issues. Like, the whole table of people, good on Saru for trying to bring everybody together, you know, have a nice dinner for the bridge crew. All I could think of is like whenever they would have forced, like in the Marine Corps, now that it's, you know, what today is, like where there would be like forced like family days or like, you know, motivational type things. And you're like, no, just let me not be fucking here. Like, let me not be here. Let me go do something not here, you know? So you give everybody else on the ship off, but these 10 people get stuck in this dumb meal they have to go to. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like he gave them the night off on the ship. Like, they're still on the ship. Like, where did any of them go? Like, at least those 10 are getting, like, quote-unquote, like, thank you. Like, basically, Big Boss Man was like, everybody I don't really talk to or you see in this show, you're not needed today. Chill the fuck out.
Night off.
Right. You guys that I see you all the time, I'm going to try to make food that all of y'all like, have that shit synthesized or whatever right now we do, and sit the fuck down because we all like each other. Like, that's – they're getting the fucking perk to me in that group, and I get it. Like, yeah. I get it.
Except
I get
it all went with south. Icebreaker.
I get it. It all went south in there, but it's also like – you can't sometimes get over shit until someone goes, you're a fucking asshole. And then it's like, oh, really? Oh, really? Okay. You know, and then that person actually has to think about why they just got called an asshole or something, you know, even though they came back with pure venom right then and there, you know, which is pretty much what like everybody in the world does. And then they think on it and they go, fuck, it was an asshole. Shit. Now I got to go apologize for two things. The fucking shit I did right. do that I was getting called an asshole for. And then the asshole I became when she called me an asshole. Right. Like, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, well, let's hope 70 million people can figure that shit out in the next few months.
You're going to just choke one day with all of the...
But in the long run, because that blow-up happened, you're right. I think it's going to help everybody start to heal. You know, it was really cool. Back to the whole, like, just, you know, the doctor, like, doing his rounds, like, when he went to report to Saru and was like... He's like, how's the crew? And they're like, physically, they're perfectly fine. Everything is good to go. Everybody looks healthy. Mm-hmm. He's like, mentally, it's like a bag of cats.
Yeah. We're struggling, boss man.
Yeah. This is Discovery is the struggle bus. Everybody's losing their fucking mind. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, the big explosion between Detmer and Stamets, because they're both, quote unquote, you know, they're both pilots of the ship. I like her, like, just the way she did it. She's like, I flew this thing. I fucking landed this ship. Like, you know, what do? Just fucking whoop, spin around. Look, we're there. And then everybody was just like back and forth. And it was like every like the next step of officer, like when Tilly barked off, someone's like, Tilly. And then they're like, fuck you. And then it was like back and forth. And Giorgio just like got up with her wine and walked off. Also, you think her and Linus is fucking?
Her
and the dude next to her?
Nah, like, I think there was that like mutual, like, you know, her dinner comment to him or whatever kind of thing. And then, because then he like saved her life or some shit, like fucked up a dude with her.
But like two episodes ago, she was like, aren't you a blankety blank, whatever his race is? She's like, you have a very, very large, like, visual spectrum. And he like rattled off whatever it was. And then like they like walked off, like, to talk about it. I bet she's tagging it. She fucks a lot of things.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Georgia fucks a lot of things.
Like, if you're an empress, you're probably taking a few fucking chances on some things, and worst case scenario, you killed it. You're like, all right, dead. Especially the way she was ruling that shit over there, you know?
Yeah, right. She's like a fucking... Now, praying mantis.
When she, like, walked off with him in the spectrum, like... I want to say... To the average viewer, like, y'all just think it's like a sexy fucking strut, because I just want to go, a bunch of you fucking nerds just don't get that she's like using him for his eyeballs right now. Like, she wanted to know what he could see, and I guarantee, like, she was like, hey, look out there and tell me what you see. Because no one's asked the man with the fucking giant eyeballs that can see this shit, like, what's going on around there? Like, I don't know. It's just... She is one of the only people on that ship, because she sees everybody as a tool, not a person, mm-hmm. that gets to know them. And it's not, I want to know you. It's, I need to know what you can do for me. Like, that's what it is. And before, their first vibe was like, I can eat you, you know, kind of thing, where now it's like, hey, let me pretend to correct that mistake and, you know, walk all cutesy and friendly with you. But now you're telling me, I know that you can see trillions of billions of things that no one else here can see. Look out into space. You are a fucking telescope. Like, I know they have gizmos and gadgets, but like, she's just playing everybody. Like, I get it. Like, it's, everybody's mm-hmm. just a tool, but no, I do not think they are like banging on the side. Like, if they are, I feel she would be more like just straight up rolled in and like slapped him on the ass and was like, yo, thank you for the good time last night. And everybody in the crew's like, what the fuck? Just, huh? Like, that's the kind of person she is. Like, she's not gonna hide anything she's doing, because she's not embarrassed or ashamed of any of it. You know?
True. I would pay for whatever Tilly's reaction to that would be, though.
I feel like everyone would... just kind of do like the, I drew him in my brain real quick and I'm going to put a penis where I know a penis goes. And the best part is like, you would get what a human's thinking and then like what all of the other human like people that are sitting next to them. Like we all are just cause they're humanoid. So we all just look at them like, yeah, your shit's between your legs, but we don't really know that. Like we don't really know that. So that would be a good Lower Decks. Like her pop in real quick, say some shit like that to some space alien. And then everybody see the cartoon version of like what they were thinking, like pop out in their bubble. That would be a fantastic Lower Deck.
maybe next season. So yeah, you know, a more of a personal, you know, a breath almost before the whole, this episode was almost like a breath before we hit this big, we got to find the Federation. We're going to figure out what's going on there. We're going to get a whole lot of exposition with what happened next week. We're going to have a whole lot more information thrown at us. So I understand this episode was for the layperson boring. And for me, I was like, okay, like this is cool, but all right, I spent way too much time in the pretend verse of her brain of the symbiote thing. And I was like, okay, y'all could wrap this shit up like at least 5 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, okay, cool. I got the idea. I liked the whole acceptance thing. I liked, you know, the nerdiness of like the sweeping shot of like all the different uniforms for how old that symbiote is. So it's been all the way back to like Picard. One of I think the oldest uniform that they showed was like one from the Picard show, mm-hmm. like the new Star Trek Picard. So it was it wasn't super old. Like you didn't see any of the DS9 or TNG episode outfits, and definitely not like super old, like 900 years old type thing. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like a, you know, not actiony, not crazy, just kind of a deep breath. Let's set everybody out where they're at. Now, something just popped in my head when you were talking about it. There, Tilly and Stamets are now trying to figure out how to make the spore drive work without him. And she wants to introduce dark matter into it. And that could be some craziness that I think that they're going to go that way. That could be part of their time travel thing. I don't have a clue, but
yeah, I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if they're going to like do something with the dark matter to, you know, obviously the main goal was to get the spore drive, like, you know, automated without Stamets in the middle.
Yeah, right now Stamets is he's your spoff. He's your single point of failure, man. That dude goes out, you're stuck, just like everybody else.
But what I think they're going to probably figure out is something along the lines, and I don't know if it's going to be like you said, stick the ship in, you know, space to come back to the Discovery or whatever, or if they like figure out a way to like make space travel again for everybody else, right? With the black, with the fucking dark energy and black matter and fucking whatever other pseudoscience like shit that's like gonna get thrown into the mix. Because hey, it's never gonna be one of these things where it's like, hey, we just grabbed this future space thing that we know, and then we took a little bit of this extra space thing that, not even like one of those, like we got lost in time, but like we figured out the solution. Like it's not like it hadn't been tried before or whatever. They just figure it out and, you know, space shit's good to go. Cause it's almost like if you take his time, like looping mechanism away from him, he doesn't have nearly the same value or really any value story-wise other than just being like the handsome doctor's other cute boyfriend, like, you know, like
because he mentioned it last week, this is his life work, the study of these spores is his life work. So if that goes away, he has nothing.
Yeah, and I think the only other solution I could think of would be like, okay, hey, we can make it so he doesn't have to do this every time, but we got to put him in one time and then we interject this thing. And that gives us a quote unquote battery. you know, or whatever. And that, like you said, that may be the solution for whatever they got to do to get her face back. And if you, if it's true, they got to, if they got to send her back, then, you know, like Stamets is the shit that moves it through time. So they're like, well, we got a battery that'll keep her here running. Right. Cause that's the thing that also like basically powers the fucking ship too. Like, you know, if she's got to go back and then wait for so long, it's like, we don't have enough dilithium for that. What do we do?
Right. We don't want to defeat all of it. We don't have any more left. Yeah. It, one of those things where like, they'll have to sacrifice. Well,
that's what I'm saying. They sacrifice all that shit. To stop the
burn so everybody can have, yeah.
Well, I don't even think it's like, I don't even think they actually fix the burn. I think they just figure out what the burn was and they're like, okay.
Ooh, I love when we disagree.
Yeah, I do not think the whole point is to go back in time and find the burn and fix it. Like, that is just stupid. It's just, we've already sent someone along her bloodline that went back in time to fix it. We've already done that. Like, we don't need to do it again. Bad shit can happen. We don't always got to go back and fix everything.
Well, you know, it's cool that you bring that up as well, because, and I think I mentioned it last week that we don't know, we've already time traveled in this Star Trek universe, and we have actually played with time travel in other movies. Mm-hmm. Voyage Home, there's time travel all the time, and Star Trek has always been very, like, loosey-goosey about it. Like, it doesn't have to really make sense. It just makes sense for the plot of that movie or episode or whatever. And sometimes it wasn't really time travel. It was just that planet was worshiping, like, the New York phone book or something. And, like, they all became, like, gangsters. And it was, like, circa 1920 or whatever. Or they found – I think they had one episode where they found Mein Kampf. And then they built an entire society around it. It was like a Nazi episode, and it was crazy. I forget what they based. I forget if it was Mein Kampf or what, but there's an entire original series episode that has like Nazis in it.
And like Kirk gets anytime you go Nazis. In the future, it's always like, what if the Nazis won? Right, like it
just, right, yeah. Exactly. The High Castle or whatever that show is on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So she mentioned offhand, but not because we know these shows don't say anything or not. They don't want you to hear. That she contacted Terra Elysium and they didn't know who her mom was. Now, simple explanation, her mom just stays in her little freaking hidey hut and nobody knows about it. It's a big fucking planet. She doesn't have to see anybody. Easy answer. Or they're not in the right time. Not only did they jump forward, but because of things they did, just like in Marvel, you split the timeline you were on, split, and you went to a different endpoint.
Yeah, see, what I was thinking is, instead of it doing a split timeline, like, what if they do the, we went ahead in the right timeline, but we didn't go far enough, and the whole plot for the burn is actually, like, a go-back-in-time thing, so it's like, well, if we stop the ship from going back in time, we fix like things. So it's just not like the ships don't like, I don't know. You basically get the whole fucking like they reappeared again kind of thing. Right. Like I would rather see something dumb if they're like that, if they're going to do time travel. Like I would rather just do what Marvel did and went, hey, we went out of our way to bring everybody back that fucking died. Okay. Just shut up. We got it. Like we cleaned it up. Okay. Like if they're going to do the time travel thing like that, and the whole grand scheme is to stop the burn really. So not only is the Federation back and all of spaceship, like then just do the weird, like somehow it came from the past and no one caught it. But now that we were a time traveling ship, we jumped in, we are an outlier. We can intersect this plot line. Fine. Clean it up right then and there like that. But do not make me go in that ship, throw homeboy in there and go, and then fucking land in 1986 and go, okay, we can fix everything from here. Like, fuck that. Like, no.
Right. Right. You sound like it'd be better if her mom just forgot to set her clock back for space time travel zones. And she told her 930 years, but only went 830 years, so they had to go back to where she is, but then that's also the burn time frame, and they can say, yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. It's like, you were off 500 years, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, but, you know, it's like, everybody's already said that from what we got from, like, the first episode in the saloon kind of thing was, like, one, we've seen time travel before, and two, we already know that it doesn't work out the way it should, hence probably why time traveling always in the future is fucking made illegal. Like, it's just, it is too complexing of math. No matter how fucking, like, detailed down you get to it, there will always be pi in there. And it's like, you're not gonna fucking solve it, homie. Like, I don't give a shit. You're computing, calculating power. You will always be an nth degree off. So every time you use this shit, you want 86, you got 86 in fucking Timbuktu dimension. You want 86, you got fucking the right 86, but only one time, jackass. And guess what? You can't jump forward now. That's just how shit works. Like, you know, like, fuck. I hate time travel so goddamn much. Do not make it part of this fucking season. And if it is, it better be a quick cleanup like we did it in this timeline, right here, right now.
Right. It's all one timeline. Don't make any more math to it. we don't have any great old wise ones to give us the exposition on how time travel works.
Yeah.
When you pull a stone from this timeline, it splits it. And then, I'm
with you. I'd rather have, like, you know, Terralysium be some shit that is like Shangri-La, right? Like, it is something that is said and everyone knows, and there always is one. It's just a hotel in Reno or something, right? But the point is, there is one, and, like, her mom's Terralysium is like, if we're gonna do this shit and no one can find her, then let's just call it a goddamn pocket dimension where our time is null and void, and, like, that's where the bitch is stuck. Like, let's not this fucking, like, oh, we catch a weird episode of her getting older and all of a sudden she is her mom shit kind of thing. Like, it was just,
we don't need her mom showing up and being like Doc Brown, Marty, we gotta go back.
Just all of the time traveling that I have ever seen, I want no part of it in this fucking season. I don't care any way you cut it, split it, loop it, fucking counter trajectory. I don't give a shit. I don't want any of it.
Okay, I'll let him know. No time travel this entire season.
Yeah, man. Get on the horn with your Trek people and fucking pass that shit around and get some rewrites if they need to happen.
Right. All right, that's it for us. That's episode 4 of Discovery. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, tune in next week for our review of the next episode, which hopefully has no time travel in it. Episode.
Yeah,
5,
or at least do it then. In the last episode, and then just make me have a whole off season to be pissed at it. That way, when it cycles back around, I'm like, all right, I'm done with it. Like, just let it get out of my system. Don't make me be mad at it and then hit me with it the next, like, 4 and get just pissed off every time.
Right. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.